Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Anytime you beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. There will never, ever, ever be a change without a conflict. And there will be casualties. There will be casualties. But slavery is alive today in a different form. But it's here. It's here. If you come to Benton Harbor, you would think that you was in Mississippi or Alabama, well, Leland, Mississippi, up in the deltas. And it's the way the people think. They still got that slave mentality. Can do nothing without white folks. And not all white folks, but most. When I was in prison, I received this letter from this lady, and she told the story. She said it point blank. She said 67% people that live in Barron County are evil, wicked, and racist. But she said 33% are good people. But they're afraid of the 67%. Wow. Unbelievable. Here's an example. Adamox. It's pronounced several other ways, but I'm pronouncing it today as Adamox. It's a white company. It's a cousin to Whirlpool and Cornerstone Alliance. Over $30 million to repair the pipes. To replace the lead pipes in the city of Benton Harbor. The $30 million have been dealt to them, have been put in their hands. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. And it's sad. They selected five companies, all white, five-star energy service of Vermont, Wisconsin, $10 million. SWT of Galesburg, Michigan, $10.5 million. B&Z of Benton Harbor, a white company, it's not, it's nothing black about this company, $1 million. Hoffman Brothers of Battle Creek, $3 million. And Sage Construction of Niles, Michigan, $3 million. Meeks, a black company here in the city of Benton Harbor, received nothing, not a dime of this money. You see, here's the problem. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed it. Nobody will believe what is going on here in this this city. See, we gave out the Sambo of the Year Award the first week in January, and it turned out that we had Marcus Singer, Muhammad, he called himself now, but he's Singer. He ain't no Muhammad. His name is Marcus Singer, and then we have Judge Mayfield, we have McGinnis, the chief of police, and Ellis Mitchell, 83-year-old nothing. Marcus Singer received 429 votes for the Sambo of the Year Award. Mayfield received 399. McGinnis received 398. Ellis Mitchell received 390. Black folks, we have to start calling these people out. We got to stop all this mess. We can no longer no longer be silent. The time is always right to do right. If we don't take care of our people, who's going to take care of them? White folks is not going to take care of you. I'm going to tell you from Jump Street, they are not going to take care. And it's not enough good ones to really help us. But they can be part, things happen. We just don't get it. And let me tell you how stupid this mayor is, Marcus Singer. He got to be one of the stupidest people there is in the world. He made the statement that he has zero lead in his water. Okay. Which I don't believe it. If you got lead pipes, if you still have lead pipes, you're going to have lead. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You might have zero today, but you can have 400-500 tomorrow, parts per billion. But this is the part that got me. He said people have been calling him and want to know why they can't drink the water. He is lying through his teeth. Because it's not just the lead in the water. It's the bacteria also. You see, stop lying. He's lying for these white folks. You see, and nobody calls him. He had the nerve to put that in the newspaper, the Herald Pollution newspaper here, one of the most fascist newspapers in the world, ran by fascism. Nobody gonna believe no mess like that. Someone calls him and asks him how come he can't drink the water. Why would I call you and ask you why I can't? Most likely you got 60% of the people in Benton Harbor drinking the water anyway. So why would I call you? Why lie? Just tell the truth. This guy's a liar. I'm shocked that my Minister Paragon ain't said something. I can't believe it. This messed with his credibility too. Unbelievable. Black folks, we got to do better. We crying about how somebody treating us. And let me tell you this about your buddy Joe Biden too. You know, I was on PBS the other day. And I didn't hold him up. I just told him I got to give him credit for the infrastructure bill. But he has not been no friend to black folks. And that's the truth. This governor, I am not voting for her. Whitmer will not get my vote. For over 3 years, she allowed my people to suffer. And she will not get my vote, you know. And I have never voted Republican in my life, but I tell you this much, she will not get my vote. And that's a promise. She's going to have to do some things to get this vote. She's going to have to do some things to get this vote, or she is not getting my vote. She got to do some miracles. And all my boys, my people from Detroit, my people from my friends from Kalamazoo, my friends from Battle Creek, my friends from Ann Arbor, Yipsey Landing, they all definitely in thinking that we're going to work this thing together. Because right now, she is not getting my vote. She will not have my vote. So that's just the way it is. I will not allow her to have my vote. She's lousy. And she even attempted to close the high school down. Nobody want to talk about that either. So she's definitely not the black man friend. But who would believe $30 million handed over to Adamar and not one single black company will receive any of that money. Not one. Wow. Let me bring in my good friend, Dr. Times, and hear what Dr. Times has to say in reference to this. Dr. Times, talk to me.
Okay, Honorable Reverend Pickney, you are dropping some knowledge, and like always, I'm highly impressed, and I'm kind of shocked because in the city commission meeting dealing with economic and planning, when Adam Marsh was there, Ellis Mitchell tried to lie and stated that Adam Marsh had minorities, but the white lady from Adam Marsh denied that, and that no, because I explained to them that in the civil rights bill, they created what's called a minority in terms of having white women who are a numerical majority. White women are a numerical majority, that they classified them as a minority so that they would be able to get over 85% of the minority contracts that they were going to be putting money out for, because the civil rights bill was written by white Southerners. And so also would wind up having a civil rights bill that they added other groups who did not fight in the civil rights bill. There were no Hispanics dying in the civil rights bill. There was no Indians, Pakistanis dying in the civil rights bill. There was no Asians dying in the civil rights bill. It was just blacks. But what happens is, because of Matthias manumission, that the house Negroes, that the coons, that the sellouts, that the buffoons, that these are the ones that helped to promote slavery, helped to enslave other blacks, that is the group that you have. And so 99.9% of your politicians and your so-called black leaders fall into that group. Now, when you talk about Joe Biden and the transport bill, what you have to understand, that by the actions of Buttigieg, that he's a racist. Because Dr. Claude Anderson and this, and that group, they have a bullet train that had been set up and funded, that all they need is permission to go ahead and build from the transportation, and Buttigieg and Biden is making it all white. And so that the Amtrak or white people are being allowed to try to compete with this black firm that's already established and already been approved by the cities to lay down this high-speed railroad track like they have in Japan, like they have in some parts of Africa. But the Biden administration, the same Biden that in the 1980s said single black women were a breeding ground for predators. And so those pastors, those leaders who want us to forget that, those are the ones who would set you up and trick you to get on a slave ship. Now, the other thing is that Abon Marche, Adam Marsh, for a good price is what it means. That means that Ellis Mitchell is guilty because this was already called out with Commissioner Mary Alice can attest to this and testify to it, that to make sure that there was African-American representation. So this is very clandish. This is very white supremacist. With the backbone and support of Ellis Mitchell, and I would question the involvement also of Alex Little in making this all-white venture. Now, we also know that White and Associates, which is actually even closer, has the ability to do the jobs, but they hire blacks. They use blacks, yeah. Even though they're here in Benton Harbor also, that it's amazing that they weren't included. So this is a very, very racist move that has happened, and it should be called out by the Civil Rights Commission. It should be called out by those black groups that the governor formed to attack systemic racism. So how could this happen? How could Flint be repeated again? And the thing that you have to also look at is that we have made the exact same mistakes that Flint have, because we have not learned. And that what happens is that we have to look at, hold them accountable. You have this money, and you're trying to hold on to money and not pay the water people, pay the people's water bills, that money that was given. So you have to hold these blacks accountable. And, you know, it's a shame to say, but it looks like this is going to be the last time that Benton Harbor are going to have black city officials, because the number of whites moving up is going to, they can outvote them. And the intelligence of every politician that sits on this, in the city government, has to be called into question. And in terms of the level of incompetence, has to be called into question, because it makes no sense They try to deny the fact that you have lead. It makes no sense that even when you leave out the houses that were highly contaminated, that you don't use those houses, use newer houses. You can only get the level of lead down to 15 parts per billion, which is still the action level that you have a crisis going on. That shows you that you have a problem with these individuals who do not identify themselves with being Black African American, who think they're better and think that they are what the white people need, that they are the notorious manumission. So you have that. You have people who are in Benton Harbor who are getting tested regularly, and that the number is going to be approaching up to over 50 individuals who do not have risk factors but have lead in their blood and of all ages. So you can't deny that, and you cannot make an excuse. To say we don't know why is not acceptable after Flint. To say that we don't know why, and you're busy trying to look for another source other than water, first all your energies in to fixing the source that you do know. So that's the whole thing. That's that mentality of white supremacists who don't even know there may be white supremacists, people who don't even know that they may be biased, they don't know that they may be racist, because you are not attacking, you are not doing an issue to prevent hurt or harm to a group of people. So the health department, if you are not trying to go right after that source and fix that source and then try to figure out another source, you are practicing systemic racism consciously or subconsciously. And the fact that we know that what Buttigieg did, that he would give preference to a sexual preference group but not an African-American group, that shows his discrimination. And the fact that he's also European-American, that he's white, that also shows his racial preference in terms of his behavior and actions. And one study, if you look at Dr. Claude Anderson, you'll see that 98% of white America will fall in the category of being racist, consciously or subconsciously. The 2% that you look at that came up not being objectively outwardly racist, that 1% of them knew how to answer questions right. But when you look at their policies, procedures, and track records and association, you found out that they were also practicing systemic racism. So you have 1% that of whites that are the diamonds, that are the good ones. But you got 99% that are no good because they're perpetuating the situation, and that's why it's still here over 400 years. The last thing I'm going to say, that the system situation is now also with COVID. Here we had treatments, and you shut down the whole treatment of COVID with monoclonal antibodies while you're going to wait for a factory to produce medicine to treat when you could go out and keep treating and modify that treatment to do it. Everything now, one Mr. James Moore said, it looks like there's a purge. Another gentleman said that he can't believe in the FDA because FDA means following the dumb A. And so these behaviors that people have to understand is that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, was the company, was the research facility that was the one who did the Tuskegee experiment. It was the CDC that lied and gave the people syphilis. It was the CDC that withheld treatment from the people. It was the CDC that lied, and it took all the way to Bill Clinton to make the apology to make sure it was fully shut down. And we're talking about the 80s, and this started in the 1930s. So we have that behavior when it comes to how we are treating blacks down in Detroit, that blacks cannot get monoclonal antibodies, just like blacks were not getting treated back in the 2020 when it came down to treatment of COVID. The racism is still here. The attack is still here. The George Floyds are still here. The Breonna Taylors are still here. So our black people have to understand that we are under attack. The body count doesn't lie, that we have to listen to those who are not going with the program so that we might have a chance to survive.
Wow, that is amazing, especially when you think about it. And see, here's something that black people don't get. They really think that white folks love them. I mean, I don't understand how. Why would you want someone who loves you? You know how they massacred the Native Americans, how they kept us in slavery, and what they do to us every single day. Why would you sit around here and think that these folks? I don't really want to be around them. I have my own little group that they good. You know, because they know that I'm not taking none of that mess. And I ain't taking none of that mess off none of these folks. And you don't never have to worry about me kissing their butt, because I ain't kissing their butt for nothing. Cause ain't nothing in this world I want for them other than for my people to have clean, safe water and a good education. You see, that's another thing. Right now, you know, when things seem like they're going good, they'll pull a rabbit out of their hat and stop stuff that's good, especially for the black community. And black folks, they run around here like this bottle of water is the greatest thing since the polio shot. You know, they run around here thinking all this stuff, and because their minds are not developed, that lead and ate up their mind. And we got to do better by teaching, because my job is this. My job is to tell you. What you do with that information is on you. I am not going to lose no sleep over my black brothers and sisters, because you cannot, how to say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So I'm really, really right there, Doc, with these people. And I can't even believe all the stuff, you know, even the work that we do with the prison system. You know, we done got 27 people that have done a total of 800 years in prison, out of prison. And you know that only 3 have actually called and said thank you. One of them lived right down the street. He could walk to my house from here. He called me from 2003. From 2003. Up until 2017, until he finally got, well, he was a juvenile lifer, and we worked that. But then he lived right down the street from me. That Negro had not even took the time out to call me, said thank you. I called him and invited him to my birthday party. He said he was coming in 2018, and he never showed up. But black folks, we got to get better, Doc. Some of this is on us. We better get better, because I know that our way of thinking is all messed up, you see. And what we do, it appears that we, you know, they think evil is good and good is evil. That's how white folks do, you know. And that's their way of thinking. But you know what? I can't put nobody in heaven. And I can't put nobody in hell. But I know this much. God got a place for these demons. He got a place for them. And it's unfortunately, they will receive it. Because I cannot believe for one second how people actually, how we are. And then we cry like babies. Because we can't. And the thing is, they still would be drinking this contaminated water if we did not file that petition. And they still will be drinking. They still will be drinking this water, Dr. Tan. And they really, I don't know what black folks be thinking, but they really think that they actually, that you know. And I'm telling you this. I'm you know, over 70% of the people. I said 60% sometimes. I believe about 70% of these people that live in Vietnam still drinking this water straight from the faucet. And I believe that. Listen, your closing remarks, tell us what you want.
Well, people need to know that your contribution is that not only did you bring this to the forefront back in 2018, you see, the problem started in 2015, but 2017 and 18, individuals knew about it, didn't warn nobody about it. They kept it a secret, made sure that their children were drinking bottled water and not using the water. But then you exposed it in 2018. And you tried to work with people, but because they were still trying to do harm to the people and trying to get, you know, what the analogy Malcolm X told us, they tried to give you an umbrella while the rest of the people were in the storm and you wouldn't have it. But the politician is, as long as you give them an umbrella, everybody else could be in the storm, and that means that the race is supposed to be all right. But what we have to look at is that the race is not all right, because when the FDA also has patents in the those vaccines, when the CDC has a patent relationship, the FDA, everybody has money invested in these vaccines, so that's going to be the even that's going to be the push. Now, the Novavax, many of them don't have the investment with the vaccine with Novavax, even though it's American, which is better and superior to the 42% effective Pfizer, according to the Mayo Clinic study, that is not being pushed. So if you really were pushing vaccines, you would push them all and not just the ones that paid you. And there's documentation that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. showing the funding by the pharmaceutical industry into the politicians' coffers. Now, the other thing that you made a point on that you have to understand is that a lot of our people are choosing to go to hell. A lot of our people choose to follow the devil. Even though we've been trained, we don't want to break our training. And a lot of us who supposed to be of faith look more like the stepfather Satan than we do Christ. And because one of the things that I'm going to be painful right now that in terms of how they treat you is this, because you act more and look more like Christ than any of them do. And the reason I say that is this, that 90% or 98% of black people which do Christ like they're doing you. And I can prove that because when Christ came, the Christ came just for the brown skin or the black skin, not the European. He came not for Japheth. He came not for anybody from Sweden, anybody from France, anybody from Germany. That did not happen until Paul. When he came and he fulfilled the promise of Genesis to the Ham and Shemitic people, the combination, he fulfilled that promise. In North Africa is where you have the Holy Land, where you have Canaan and you have Palestine. He came to those dark-skinned people who be considered black people. Christ came to them, and they rejected him. They were the ones who took this black man in front of a white man to have him crucified. And so that's why we're still paying the price while we're catching hell today, because Christ kept telling us that we have to love one another. And when he says love your brother yourself, back then it was segregated. The Romans stayed with the Romans, the Greeks stayed with the Greeks, and the Hebrews or the brown skin or the black skin stayed with the Hebrews. So your brother was your Ben Harbor brother, was your black skin brother, your dark skin brother, your dark skin sister, and we were not getting along back then, and we're not getting along back then. So Satan has been winning because Satan's going to always win, and Christians are always going to be a fraud until they can love the black race. Because when you don't love your black skin, you're not loving the skin that God puts you in. You see, and that's what we see, that Satan has affected their minds. That's why they give you a hard time. That's why they don't want to listen. Even though they can make $7,000 by making sure that they file that lawsuit, some of them will not do it just because it's you and give up that money. And then later on, when everybody else gets the money, they're like, oh, man, I should have filed that lawsuit. Yeah, I had level two. But that ignorance has been taught and trained, but we keep rehearsing it and teaching ourselves. We teach it through our movies. We teach it through our media. We teach it through what we accept. You know, we turned our queens into B.I.T.s. We turned our kings into thugs and N.I.G.s. We did that. We keep following the wrong Negroes. We keep following the Sharptons and the Jacksons who have not done anything for us. Now they're going to put a Supreme Court judge, but what has she done? Will she be another Clarence Thomas, or will she speak out? Because it's going to take more than just her one vote. But we don't hold people accountable in politics. We don't hold people accountable in the justice system. We don't hold people accountable in the medical system, because the medical system says you're supposed to treat. And if you don't treat, that means that you're breaking the Hippocratic Oath, and that what doctors have done is by not treating, they have violated the oath to be a physician. And that their thing of saying that do a vaccine, which is not a treatment, which is a preventative measure for down the road. So doctors withholding treatment, denying treatment, they are breaking the law. They are violating ethics. They're not real doctors. They're satanic practitioners imposing as physicians. So it's on all levels, medical, scientific, political. So you are 100% correct. But we have to wake up, hear this. But those who can hear it, God is going to hear it. Those who can't hear it, then those are the ones why Satan has now been doing remodeling to make a more space for a lot of people from Ben Harbor, so that he'll have enough room in hell for them.
Amen. Amen. And here's one thing, you black brothers and sisters out there who got that oppressive mentality, that's when your ego becomes more important than the cause. It becomes more important than your children. It becomes more important than the future of the future of our black man. That's when When your ego becomes that big, we no longer want you. I don't want you around me because I will not accept it, and that's fine. Dr. Times, thank you so much for being on, and don't forget about tomorrow. I'm definitely going to hit you up tomorrow, and we get a chance to talk a little bit more. But we have to keep, you know, blowing the horn. Whether they hear us or not, it don't mean nothing. We still got to tell them. Because if we don't tell them, we're just as bad as they are. So that's how I look at it. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Thank you so much for being on. And let's talk soon. My good friend, Dr.
Avoid people who say people of color. Avoid people who say people of color.
There you go.
All right, my brother. God bless you.
God bless you. It's going down. My good friend, Dr. Tan. You know, one of the things that I learned is that, you know, guys become elected officials, and all before they become elected officials, they black power, you know. And soon they become elected official, they adopt that oppressor mentality. You see, the white man cause is bigger than any other cause in their eyesight. And that's just the way it is. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But if you accept it, you're just as bad as they are. Let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, Michigan, the one and only. There's not two of this person. There's not two of them. Marcina Cole. Marcina Cole, talk to me.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well, Marcina. I can hear you well.
Okay, great. Great. Okay, I just want to start off, first of all, we're still in a pandemic in spite of some folks acting like we don't, walking in the stores and with no masks and all that. But I just want to give some figures real quick, worldwide figures with COVID-19. Generally, those numbers are off, but I would say 374 million, but I would say rounded off 375 million people who have contracted COVID worldwide, and over 5 million, which means 6 million people that died in recovery, 296 million. In the United States, over 75 million people have contracted COVID-19 and 1 million deaths. 45 million recovered. So here's the issue that's going on that I wanted to speak on real quick. There's a lot of impoverished people in the world today. Additional 100 million people. It's 700 million worldwide as far as impoverished. An additional 100 million since the pandemic, making only $1.90 a day. Meanwhile, during the pandemic, this global pandemic, not just the United States, but worldwide, because we already know where it initially started, in Wuhan, China, the COVID-19. So worldwide, millions of people have become millionaires across the world. Then you've got billionaires across the world making all this money while folks are suffering and dying from COVID-19, they became billionaires. Now, moving forward, some of those billionaires became trillionaires, and they more likely won't have to pay taxes. So we got these people across the world making all this money while many folks is homeless and living under the viaduct bridges on the roads. No place to live in this sub-zero weather across this country and elsewhere. We are still struggling out here, and it's unfortunate that people, these rich folks are, while many Americans and people from across the world are still suffering, and they don't care. You know, according to Joe Biden, it said 20 million Americans lost their jobs in the pandemic. So we deal with all these figures that's going on out here. I don't have the exact figures, but we see the customers out here, that's purchasing foods and all that during the pandemic from Amazon. We made them making more money than ever, the Amazon company. Elon Musk from the electric cars, Tesla, Jeff Bezos, whatever his name is. So these are billionaires, and they made so much money because of what's going on with this COVID-19, and it's still here, but people are acting like it doesn't. People are just satisfied just being poor. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but what can we do? It's sad to me that the poor people have just been left out, in particular people of color. So, you know, across this world. Moving on forward, what I wanted to touch on, Reverend Pinkney, you know, we talked about that early this morning about the escalation of gun violence in the black communities at large. We do have this problem. Many people look just like me, don't want to talk about it. Been talking about this for years, but it's not going to just take one person or two people to address this. To me, it's a pandemic when we kill each other. And it's still happening, and it's gotten worse during the pandemic. It's unfortunate because I hear this news feed every day where we're trying to make it through the pandemic, and we hear about gunshots and hear a black man killing somebody because they had an argument or he didn't like the way they looked at him and all this other kind of stuff. We have enough going on with white supremacy. What can we do to heal our own community? We have to come together as one, with teachers, parents, community activists, whatever it takes to change the mindset of the youth, because violence is not the answer, but it's all intertwined with the politicians, the government, you name it. You know, the NRA is about money, making money, selling guns, dispersing guns, you know, whatever it takes as far as these people want to gain access to a gun. It's very easily. And I don't care what color you are, gun violence, enough is enough, because it's taking people's lives away. So, you know, in order to resolve this, which it won't get resolved if we keep focusing on, you know, having assault weapons and all this other stuff going on with this white supremacy and all that, and we dealing with our own issues in our community, we need healing, you know, and stop hating each other, start loving each other in our own backyard. Then we can reach out, you know, once we, you know, get our backyard together, we can reach out to others as well. But we're not doing that. It's going to take some time. But what's happening here in this country, this former President Donald Trump, basically he brought a beast out of these white people. The hate came out from these white beings, and in millions. And while they were targeting people of color and the immigrants and pro-gun folks, pro-Civil War, pro-violence, pro-terrorism, pro-theft, pro-hate, all that. So what Donald Trump is doing now, he's out there like in Texas and Arizona and having these rallies and basically, putting the minds of these people to escalate violence, period. So we've not ended it. We can't even fix it in our own communities. And then we got these white supremacists want to carry their assault weapons and all that and not wear masks and everything else. So he wants to exonerate himself for the wrongdoings he has done and his white supremacist powers. And I feel that they're leading up to a civil war too. They claim it's been a civil war since last year. So basically he don't want to be held accountable and making threats. So we're dealing with that. There's so much to deal with and deal with our mental health and our physical health. A lot is going on. Millions of people across the world have contracted COVID. Some people didn't make it. So we're dealing with the gun violence, worldwide, and particularly in our own neighborhood. And this must stop. So we definitely have to fight for our rights, and we cannot ignore what's going on. We can't put in the back burner. We got the police officers, they still killing. And so we got so much going on all in one bag, and it's too much for us to handle, Reverend Pinckney. So, we just have to move forward. And, when it comes down to black politicians, some of them are bad. When they get in office, they don't do anything. But this particular woman from Missouri, she was fighting for black people's rights. And when it first happened to Ferguson about Michael Brown, she stepped forward to make a difference. And unfortunately, her car was recently shot up, you know, where she lives. And so her name is Cori Bush, and they claim that she wasn't targeted. I believe she was, because when white supremacists can't stand her, because she wants to hold the police accountable for their actions and violence against black people. They're not trying to hear that. And, and these negative comments on Fox 2 about her getting shot at, you know, and so it's unfortunate. You know, she did not get hurt. She wasn't in the car, but it was a sergeant with the founder of Blue Lives in New York City. He made a statement, and then he claimed that, you know, I'll just give you a segment of it. He basically was saying that we need the lawmakers to be victims in order for them to make change, you know, and understand that, you know, they need more police and not to be defunded, whatever. So can you imagine somebody says this in public about, you know, it's okay that somebody shoots at this congresswoman because she's black. So
I'm not
we cannot tolerate this threat. Huh?
But look, I'm not surprised at all that they say it's all right, as long as they're black. See, black people just don't get it. They don't quite understand that these folks don't care nothing about you. They care, and
exactly.
You're trying to be just like them. How you going to be
right.
Just like the devil and think it's all right? These folks, you know, and look, Dr. Tan said 99% of my devils. I'm inclined to believe that, you know, that. But you still got some good ones, but you still got them, the ones that run around here that would do anything. Look at the court system. You can't even go to court and get a fair trial. You can't go because you don't have an all-white jury, and white folks always think that black folks is guilty, and that's what goes on. And then we get in a position, elected a position, and we try to do whatever they ask us to do, and it's okay. What is wrong with us? And then we can't sit here and cry about what the white man doing. We're doing it to ourselves.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So we got a lot of fight ahead, you know, ahead of us, you know, where we not even helping our own community. When we, when these people get elected, these black folks get elected, they turn up, back until the next election, then they up in your face. Knocking on your door with their literature, their tons of literature and all that. I mean, never changed, you know what I mean? And I let them know I don't want your literature, you know what I mean? I don't care what color it is. If they hadn't approached me beforehand and then knock on the door like a week before the election, then I already know you're not the person I want you to represent me. And at times, I feel like I'm not being represented, period. And
black people.
Right, and so, you know, I'm just real upset because what's happening is you see these white folks, they're coming together. They come together and they support people that's psychotic, that's murderers, you know what I mean, and put them in office. And we got this Supreme Court, white supremacist Supreme Court with that cool Negro Thomas, you know what I mean? He's a right-wing extremist with him and his wife. Founder of the Tea Party, all that above. He got black skin, but in his head, he's white. So we got black folks they got black skin, according to the race thing or whatever, but they basically is white. They're our enemy, too. So we must not forget them black folks is not for us. You know, not just him, but we can go all day and name something who ain't for us. You know, we just, we have to call them out.
Something that we should do. If we elect people in the office and they turn out and don't be for us, what we should do, we should put them in a corner and not deal with it. Let's say if you're a barber, you cut hair, and this guy comes to your barbershop, turn him away. If you are you own a cleaners, this guy brings his clothes in to be clean, turn his butt away. Let him know that we don't want you in our community. See, but we don't do that. What we do, if somebody got a title, we try to put our arms around them like they something. They ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. They wasn't nothing before they got elected. And all of a sudden now they're going to be something, all because they got white folks like them. What kind of mess is that?
Exactly. You know, right in the meantime, we got some of these folks out here wants to destroy America, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and this Trump is calling this so-called big protest in D.C. and other states, you know what I mean? He's coming here, you know, this. I thought this man was buried, you know what I mean? He has risen for his white supremacy to do their damage. And I'm getting to the point, you know, enough is enough. I've been attacked on Facebook by white supremacists and all that. Yeah.
All right. But so listen, you got about 60 seconds, and I got to move on.
Okay, then. Well, you know, we definitely got to move forward, Reverend Peeny. It's a lot going on. And, you know, to be safe with this COVID-19 and just watch your back when it comes down to violence in our communities and everything. And just make sure that you and your family is, being masked up and safe distancing, because COVID-19 is still here. So hopefully things will change for the better. Looking forward to that. And we're the part of the puzzle to be the ones who move forward to make positive change for our people.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much for being on. I tell you, it's really just been a tremendous week. I mean, I'm just happy that it's here. And thank you so much for calling. But it's going down. That's all I can tell you. You see, there's nothing more. See, when you think about it, see, the white man will try to satisfy us with symbolic victory rather than economic equality and real justice in the courts. These are things that they would do. And then you, if you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed every bit of it. And this is how they do us. You know, and remember, freedom is not free. It's going to be some casualties, you see? And that's how they manage to get away. They get away because we allow them. We allow them. We laugh and joke about what they done done to us or they done to somebody else, not what they do to you. And then we allow them to get away with this stuff. We got this mayor going around. He know the water is bad. He know it. He has zero lead in his water. Boy, he don't know nothing about it. He's so stupid that he don't even know that you can have zero lead today and 400 parts of being tomorrow. And it ain't really just the lead. It's the bacteria at the water plant, too. Stupid. And black people accept it. What is it? Oh, I could be mayor of St. Joe. No, you can't. You can't even be mayor here. You just, these people are so, you know, they're so backwards. You know, they still think they're in 1950. Little Mississippi. That's what they think. And that's the mentality that we're dealing with. We got to change. When you're in power, you have one job to do. That is to build a foundation for the future of that community, a foundation that will allow every single black person to advance to a different level. And that's what we don't do. Only thing we do, we provide things for white folks. And that's where we're at today. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend James from Detroit. James, talk to me.
Hey, good evening, Reverend Picnic.
Hey.
Good evening there.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, we as black folks, we just got to wake up and realize our so-called used-to-be black leaders, black politicians, black civil rights activists, we need to fight them because they have done nothing for the black race. So we need, just like we can get fired if we go to work and don't do our job, we need to fire these people. Why do we keep them? They have done nothing for the race. They have sold out the black race. Al Sharpton, he kills me talking about Donald Trump and his taxes. 2014, they had printed Al Sharpton indicted for income tax fraud. Time magazine wrote it, so, you know, you can read it. That's public information. Indicted for income tax fraud. 2014, 2016, before Obama left office, Obama wiped his debt clean. But Obama did nothing else for the black folks that's poor.
Not a thing.
He did nothing. Mm-hmm. See, this is why now Al Sharpton do nothing for black poor folks, because he owed the Democrat Party one of the biggest favors in the world, because they wiped that debt clean, $4.5 million. That's public information. Public information. New York Times wrote it. So they must know what they're talking about. See, so we need to fire him. He was not elected in the first place. See, we need to get our so-called black folks that speak for us, take them off that pedestal. Call them by their first name. No more reverend. No more deacon. No more pastor. Because he's not doing the work of the Lord. Money
That's
has took over. Money has taken over. There's no way he was alive today. He would have been up in Benton Harbor. He would have been up in, he would have stayed up there until he got some results. These leaders now, they leading us out into the ocean. That's what they're doing. See?
Yeah, they're not even leaders.
This is the new hustle.
It's just a group of money grabbers. All they is,
that's right.
Anywhere where they see dollar signs.
Well, you're right. But see, what they focus on now, they just sit back and wait till a white till a black. Then they key in on this silver suit. See, if we talk about defunding the silver suit, then we can get some done for everybody else, except for the leaders. That silver suit, You know, that's the problem. You don't hear about Jackson or Al Sharpton for the poor race of black folks. It's always about a silver suit when a white kills a black. That's the only thing. That's that new hustle. That's the new hustle now. How is it, long as Ben Harbor had lead in the water, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, hasn't made it up there yet? They haven't made it. I guess they're waiting on a white man in Ben Harbor say, well, we don't want no black pastors come to Ben Harbor like they did in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they're waiting on. And then again, they might not go then because they have much money. They made too much money. To look at their bank accounts. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think we should all talk about the right to live before the right to vote. Because if you don't have the right to live, you'll never be old enough to vote. Never. See, we need to start speaking for ourselves instead
like
of letting
that.
These wants. Yeah.
James,
everybody else got the right
like
to live,
that.
Don't they?
The right to live.
Every,
the right to live.
Yeah.
And then
every
also,
race.
This government and everything, you got the right to do right. You should be doing right. You shouldn't be
That's
forced
right.
to doing things. Why can't the black folks have a right.
right
to live?
That's right. Everybody else got the right to live except for black folks. See, you don't see white cops going around killing Arabs, Chaldeans. Only black folks, because black folks is the only race that was considered three-fifths of a human being. So therefore, you don't have the right to live. And that's strange. A black leader only want to talk about the right to vote. Now, you got to be a certain age to vote. So how old do you have to be to have the right to live? See?
There you go.
But see, none of these social leaders that speak for black folks ever say we have the right to live. The Koreans, 8 or 9 killed at one time in Georgia. They got the right to live now. They didn't have none of that. They said these Asians got a crime bill, the right to live. You want to name out after somebody? Do it for the whole race.
Absolutely.
Need the
right. Hey, talk about that. Talk about that killing that they had.
That's that one about that baby.
Yeah.
Well, see, that was January 20th. Nobody talked about it. I called shows, and you know what they told me? Oh, we ain't got time to talk about that. We can't talk about everything. But you talking about finances, relationships, you know, I mean, all of this other stuff. But you can't talk about a 6-year-old baby that got his brains blown out of his head, execution style, and a 28-year-old babysitter, pretty black young lady, got her head, brains blown out of her head, and then cut her head off, her arms. But the black radio speakers say, oh, we can't talk about that. We can't talk about everything. And then one of them said this. I couldn't believe it. Well, I don't live in Detroit. I live in Smith, so I didn't hear about that. Wow. But you heard about Kwame, though. And Kwame was not in Smith. Kwame was in Detroit. See?
Yeah.
And you know what makes you know what even make it worse than the host is the dank on callers. Some of these callers, they won't talk about it either because they'll get kicked off the show. See, we need to talk about black people's problems. There's no reason Ben Harbor shouldn't be talked about every day because they still got led. So how can you not talk about that, but you'll talk about relationships or what I did on vacation. See, this is why black folks can't get – you don't hear – no white radio station degrading their own race of people. You only hear it on the blacks.
Yeah.
Because, see, blacks have been abused, and they've been spoken to any kind of way, degraded. So this is why they talk to blacks on the radio that way. They're used to it.
Well,
that
absolutely.
And here's the sad part.
One thing about black people, rather than trying to do something about the problem, they rather talk about it. You can't see
right.
What you need to do. You got to have some kind of action, especially dealing with black folks. And when you
yep.
when you got action, you can get things done. You're never going to get anything done with black folks unless you get out here and do something and show them. See, black people, we ain't got really. Slavery messed us up, and there's
yep.
a lot of mental illness in our community, you see. That
yep.
needs to be addressed, too. We need to talk about the
right.
mental illness that's in our community, and it's there. You can't hide it. I don't care what you say. Mental illness is in our community, and is running rapid. We've got to do something about that because – even the degree, they've been so miseducated, and nobody really cared. Nobody cared about
you know
black
why they
folks.
Don't,
black folks
you know
don't
why they
like
don't care,
folks.
Reverend Pinkney? Mm-hmm. Reverend Pinkney, you know why they don't care? We lost our power when we lost our next-door neighbors. All of this by design. This is
mm-hmm.
the new world order that every president had talked about in the past. Every president talked about this new world order, one world religion, one world police order, and it's coming here. It's here. This is why black folks' new friends are really their new enemies. You lost
right.
your power when you lost your next-door neighbor. Now, your new
mm-hmm.
friends you got, run and ask them to come help you do something in your house. They'll never show up. But your neighborhood.
Yeah.
See, all this by design. None of these people that speak for black folks live around poor black folks. This is why they are going to be looked out for, their family, and the rest will fall by the wayside if blacks don't wake up. You need your next-door neighbor just like you need sugar and Kool-Aid. You need your neighbor.
Well, you
That's
know
what
well,
you
we,
need.
We, it seems like we need to start to go all the way back to the root and get this thing right.
Yep.
Right now, we're losing this battle. We're losing this battle. Matter of fact, we're getting slaughtered. It's not. We'd have been here over 400 years. 400 years of slavery, and this is how far we have gotten. It's embarrassing. I wouldn't even tell nobody that we've been here 400 years, and this is how far we have gotten. This is ridiculous, and it's terrible to think about. And there's no shame. Black folks don't have no shame, you know. And here's another thing. You can hear black people talking all the time. Oh, he liked me. He's white. He liked me. White folks love me. The white folks don't love you, and don't even think about that. Well, look, I gotta let you go. We just ran out of time. Let's talk soon. Next week, everybody. Same time, same station. All right, it's going down. That's all I got to say. It's going down.